Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Joy!
I'm not going to worry about your level of concern.
Joy and double joy.
We talking about Twitter.
Triple joy.
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple joy.
I don't send messages. I just make moves. We want them to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
It's my quarterback.
It's that time again for the show that never really begins or ends. Actually, the show with no ending. If your show is about hot and toxic takes on the internet, then your show will never end forever and ever. Happy Monday, Thursday for those who celebrate. And for those who don't, happy Throwback Thursday or Thirsty Thursday, whichever
alliteration goes to. Yeah.
Yeah. This is What Jen's Talking About, the conversation about the Steelers social media conversation, exposing all your hot and toxic takes. But, I'm Kyle Kreis. Let's introduce everybody. I'm Kyle, and with me is Greg Benavent.
Hello.
But is there a reason to be toxic? Did you get your tickets to the parade yet? That's right. We are the March champs.
Guys, it's March.
March, you know, champions back to back.
Guys, it's March.
Late
March.
I can't wait for the parade.
Late March.
Late March.
Late March. Late March. Late March. Late March. Late March. Late March. Late March. Late March.
Cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats. That's right. Back to back March champs. I don't know how I feel about it. Well, I'm happy. I'm happy. March champs. Yeah.
Well, it's better than not improving the team, but it's something they had to do because they weren't the April champs, nor were they the champs during the actual season.
Well, who are the April champs? Oh, draft
team
champs?
Draft champs. Yeah.
We were up there.
I think it. I think the April championship got taken away when Corey Trice hurt his leg again.
Spring ball, spring champions. Let's not get at it. You know, I don't know what's worse, the toxic takes or the ones that think that winning in March is what the standard is. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'll take the second one just because it's A, different, and B, at least positive. I mean, it's likely wrong, but at least it's a breakup from the constant drumbeat of negativity.
Okay, then let's get to these takes, starting with at Mike Dup Sports, Mike Nicastro. I think it's legitimately safe to say the Steelers have had the most active offseason of any NFL team. That's actually not that hot of a take. That's
right.
Just,
yeah, that might be a statement of pretty close to a statement of fact.
Although I remember last offseason being about as hot as this offseason, except for, you know, with the QB, of course.
Yeah, the big QB thing. And it's, I mean, how many starters did they sign last season? I mean, it was Seumalo. It was Roberts,
Pat Peterson,
and Cole Holcomb. And I guess this year the only real starters are Queen and Russell. And
Russ or Fields,
and I guess technically the punter, but that doesn't feel like that hot. So yeah, so I think maybe
and a returner. We'll get to special teams talk. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see what the national take is. At Wingo's, Trey Wingo. Is he even on anymore?
I don't even know if he still is. I mean, obviously you'll remember the name for the rest of your life, but yeah.
Trey Wingo, the Steelers are going to be very interesting this season. Aren't we interesting every season?
You beat me to it, yes.
Perennial playoff contender.
With always some bizarre drama, some weird thing going on, whether it's, you know, the offense being carried by the defense, their defense being very good, or just something else. I mean, I would substitute very interesting for have a chance to be better, but win or lose, this team is going to be interesting. They've always been interesting. They'll continue to be interesting. I can't remember the last boring year because I don't think there was one.
What was the last boring year? Could you say 2020? Could you say, because just going 12-0, but those weren't boring games.
No, those aren't boring games. And it's also, what I'm also not going to say is boring is a team that was very good and then falls off a cliff. Like, again, that's very much also the opposite of boring.
Okay, you're the thesaurus. I don't know. I can't speculate or reculate on what. Okay, but that was just that's a national take. There's got to be a more local at Pittsburgh Sport, known Tomlin hater. Steelers takeaways. Mm-hmm. Win or lose, this Steelers team will not be boring. This team has become, if nothing else, very interesting and, dare I say, entertaining. Do you want the entertaining team or would you want the winning team?
I would prefer the winning team. I do think on some level maybe this team, from what we saw from the edict from Rooney and all that, to win more, they might have to become more entertaining. But with entertaining probably comes a higher likelihood of turnovers.
Look at the Killer Bees era if you want entertaining, and how many AFC championship games are they into?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, how many times did Le'Veon either A, get hurt, or B, not show up until right before the game started?
It is a pebble in my shoe.
Yeah, that was enough to get you on the DL back then, I guess. All right. Anyone else really excited about? I'm excited.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't mean to imply that you weren't.
But yeah. I'm not putting these kind of takes.
No.
At Michael Beck 56, Michael Beck, I'm really excited about the direction of the 2024 Steelers, and I still think they signed 2 to 3 more guys before the draft. They will not be an easy game for anyone, right? Because Steelers were this pushover team, unless you were the Niners in week one. You know, this was not, the Steelers have never been a pushover team, even maybe back into the Duck, which we claimed was the worst QB room ever.
Well, they were kind of a pushover team a bit in Kenny's rookie year. I mean, with the Eagles, the Bills, that home game against the Bengals. I mean, they got pushed over. There's been more pushover games in the last 5 years than there were for a long time before that. But I also think they're going to sign 2 to 3 guys before the draft. Because they better.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost a lot of guys. I mean, they lost a center. They lost a tackle. They got to bring in a center, and they got to bring in a tackle, and they lost a receiver that can actually be a number two versus signing a bunch of, you know, the most unemployed fast guys they could. So, yeah, I mean, it's I feel excited about the direction of the team, too, but also in like a queasy way about like, am I driving this car too fast? Like, that's exciting, too. But like, it could also wreck. Like, there's, you know, there's a second side to excitement.
That is a reasonable expectation.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, let's take it slow. Let's take it. What about anyone else really excited? I think so. How about at Leroy Randall, Van Heflin, Steelers signing Cordarrelle Patterson with the new kickoff rules. This is the most pumped up for a season I've been in a long time. Most pumped up since, I don't know, last season's perfect preseason. How long back are we going? This is the most I've been pumped up since January. What? I don't know.
Optimistically, I will say this person was looking for an excuse to get pumped up, because if all it takes you to get pumped up is we signed a new kick returner, like that's you were what you wanted to be talked into being pumped up. And two, I don't know if this will happen, but I imagine we'll get a chance. I admit, when the time comes, we could probably do an entire episode just based on people's tweets the first time they see this new kickoff. Like, you want to talk about hot and toxic takes, the first time they have to look at what that alignment's really like and how much it looks unlike anything you've seen before, because you did not watch the XFL.
I've trained myself to hate it.
We'll get to Cordell in a minute.
Okay, I'm just talking about the kickoff itself. Like, I'm not even on Cordarrelle yet, but just when you see that thing and how, eighth grade gym class it looks, and it's probably better for the game. It really probably is. It brings kickoffs back. It lets dudes get hurt less. Like, it's probably better for the game, but like, the reaction videos to it are going to be something.
Well, one person isn't excited about defending March champs, and that's Las Vegas. At Steeler Nation, really? Over under is 7.5 for the Steelers? I guess when this initially came out, it was 7.5, but now the win, the consensus over under for most sports books is 8.5. Mm-hmm. It's not a big money bet. It's, you know, minus 110 on the bet. So, but still 8.5, you know, should I bet the house on that?
If I had to bet the house on anything, and I don't, because I don't bet because I'm not right about things. I would take the over on this just because we have this conversation every year. We have this exact conversation. It's always around this line, and the Steelers always beat it. That's a losing record. So they're going to say that the Steelers are most likely to have Tomlin's first losing record with this team and not with the team he just had. I mean, I'm assuming, remember, for them to get to this 8.5, you're probably taking into account that, what, Burrow's going to be in 100% shape? That Lamar's not going to get hurt? That everything's going to be fine with Deshaun Watson? I mean, if you take this 8.5, you're taking a lot of other things with it too, most likely.
Who's coaching this ball club? Mike T.
Well, I got Mike T. I don't know. You know, should I put 10 grand on just to win? What would I
11
win?
Grand.
11
I mean,
grand.
I don't like that kind of bet. This is where people start like, you could have it as part of a parlay, and it's like, you are an addict. But I don't bet for this specific reason. But if I had to pick something, I would say they're going to be over 8.5, sure.
Okay, let's get to, I guess we've been talking about it already, but con season in full effect. But what did the tweet say? What did the tweet say at Scarpizio Scarps? Cordarrelle? What is it?
Alan Saunders did it phonetically as Cordarrelle. Like
Cordarrelle.
Darrelle with core in front of it. Is that right? I have no idea, but I'm sticking with that so far.
I've been, I've already been saying Cordell, but since I...
Which is going to happen. I mean, come on. They're still calling... They still do he, the Muth, like, it, yeah. You know.
Well, how about since he plays many positions, why not just slash Patterson?
Hey,
slash Patterson.
I like that.
You heard it here first, unless someone else has already... I'm sure I can't be that original. Slash Patterson. Okay, anyway, to the tweet. At Scarpizio, slash Patterson averages almost 30 per kick return. With these new rules, special team spots are even more important. No disrespect to Calvin Austin, but he's going to have to prove a lot to make the team. Gosh, like this Diet Coke is coming back
no,
to
me. No, you're okay. I mean, I wouldn't, I don't know about Calvin Austin. I think he's got, to use the phrase we keep using, I think he's in the pole position. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, maybe one of Quez Watkins and Van Jefferson and, or Calvin Austin, like, if one of them doesn't make the team. Like, that might be three bones in one hat or three dogs in one bone. I think that's the proper analogy as Tomlin uses. But yes, but Cordero, I mean, it's the first actual kick returner they've had since AB, and he's even going to wear the same number probably. So
I can only see him threatening Calvin Austin if he's also doing punts as well, but which I don't know. I don't think he's done punts in his
I have no idea. I mean, I just know Cordero's done everything. Slash has done everything else, including running the ball and receiving. I mean, I just remember he played the Steelers tough in that game the Steelers won a couple years ago, which I think is like one of the best ways to try out for an eventual job with the Steelers.
I do not think that Calvin Austin has anything to worry about in March, but, you know, let's go to this. At Fantas Gippy, Jeffrey Benedict. Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be the kick returner. Beyond that, in Atlanta last season, he lined up 85 times in the backfield, 31 times in the slot, 55 times out wide. So 86 times like a receiver, 85 times like a back. So we can probably expect that more of the same in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Which sounds prolific, but that, you know, that's about as many offensive snaps as Miles Boykin got.
Right. The only amendment to that is that Miles Boykin didn't exactly, they weren't like handing off to Miles Boykin. Like he took all those receivers
as
a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, that was an Atlanta team that like had one big offensive weapon, that London kid, and the tight end. So that's two. But but he's also got, you know, they brought him here and it's his coach now running the offense, the guy that liked him over there. So I could see Slash getting a fair amount of use. But again, there's also one ball. So, I mean, you can't run to Cordero all that often with Najee and Jalen and George and Freiermuth and whoever magical wide receiver number two is. So I think you're right about he's not like going to have the most impact on offense, but he should have some.
Yeah. I mean, you know, don't forget about former all pro return person, Gunner Gesundheit. Right? You know, that's like we were excited. Were we excited for him? I think we were. He was all pro at the time.
He was all pro at one point, but again, he never lined up in the backfield. He didn't have this many, targets as a receiver, and he's also a much smaller guy. But yeah, I think, man, if that's where but in terms of special teams free agent signings, remember that's what can happen. That you can be excited today, and then you can be yelling about the man going out of bounds willingly on a kickoff return or whatever that was, and the strangest thing I ever saw. On special
yeah,
teams.
You can. Yeah, you can go from all pro to being a candidate with Lima Swede for the worst photo op in Steelers history.
Oh yeah, to being the point that Tomlin brings up at press conferences unbidden after you've been cut, which is something he explicitly does not do.
That's a curse. That's they walk you past the six Lombardis and then they have a little video closet with a still picture of Tony Toe Tap there. Where were we? We were talking about
still on Cordero and Khan.
You know what? Let's. You know, I'm still can't get. I still can't get over it. I'm going. You know, I can't get over it. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to at B Pryor, Brooke Pryor. Mike Tomlin says Deontay Johnson didn't express frustration or that he wanted to be traded. Quote, we traded player for player. We had an opportunity to get cornerback Dante Jackson. He's a guy that we evaluated probably several times since he's been in the league. The Panthers needed Deontay. We needed D-Jack. It was a good exchange. I don't know, man. I'm still sore about losing Deontay Johnson, especially because I think that it was like we're clearing the room for Kenny. We're making this Kenny's team, and now that it's not Kenny's team, man, I really wish we had the fifth all-time Steeler in receptions in the room still, you know?
Oh, yeah, but this is a place where if you're going to have faith in Tomlin, yeah, I mean, you do here too. But, I mean, if nothing else, they love this Jackson guy. I mean, that you've seen the Tomlin interview, so have I. They really,
do they
really
love him?
They really know him.
They, you know, they've evaluated him several times.
Well, they wanted to draft
him
back then. I forget why they didn't, or what happened at the time where they didn't get a chance to pick him. They really did like the guy. I mean, it's, I think the other part, I mean, the part that worries me more about, you know, them getting, not having Johnson right now is that, like, they have done nothing to replace him, and a rookie isn't going to cut it. I mean, even the best rookie that's around there in that first round, if they do go there in the first round, which that's also a guy that I don't, it's hard to believe that he's going to be as good as Deontay was last season. So that's one where when people talk about like how much better the team has looked, how much better the team is today than when they lost to Buffalo, maybe they are at a lot of positions, but at some other positions right now they are really at a deficit compared to where they were.
Yeah, you know, if people weren't, or if people weren't going to get off, give Tomlin any slack on Kendrick Green, like, oh, they thought he was a plug and play center. Then I'm worried. Yeah, I'm worried about any receiver that we pick up. I don't know, they're plug and play receivers. I don't know. You know, at least historically, not at the. Not when we drafted him. I mean, I don't know, Juju, that was a second rounder.
It was Chase, and he played very well his rookie season. And then, of course, everything happened with him. The Deontay situation's tough. I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, obviously, they'll run more of their offense through George than they have before, and they'll run more of it through Pat than they have before. But you're going to need that second receiver for any of this to work.
I love how they asked, you know, the Panthers guys came over and asked Tomlin, what are we getting with Deontay? And like, here's what he had to say. Here's what Tomlin had to say about Deontay Johnson, the fifth all-time Steeler in receptions.
Man, you're getting an awesome route runner, man, a guy that can create separation at the top of routes. A guy that's tough to stay with. He can win in non-vertical route running and vertical route running. And so you're getting a guy with a complete skill set in that regard, and I just think he's going to be a big asset to him.
It's like, you know, geez, he does everything well. Why did we get rid of this guy? What? You know, it's like, is Levi Wallace, is Dante Jackson so much better than a Levi Wallace or a Pat Peterson than a Deontay Johnson is to whatever we're about to get?
He is to Tomlin. Okay. I mean, Tomlin feels that way. I mean, that's very much so. I'm unsure about it. I also know that I think Kovacevic intimated this, and so have others, that, you know, Deontay was more unhappy than Tomlin's. Hey, he didn't request a trade. Like, he didn't explicitly say, so trade me like Kenny did. But, I mean, we know that Deontay has been unhappy at times behind the scenes. But, I'm with you. I'm surprised that they traded it and they haven't been able to replace him in any way, because that might be a player that's particularly difficult to replace. But that's going to be a real test of Tomlin to make this all work.
Right, all this talk that Deontay is, unhappy behind the scenes, but, you know, I go right to his tweets, @juiceup_3, Deontay Johnson. I love Pittsburgh regardless of what happened. Y'all fans delusional and swear everything I tweet be about y'all. Need to get a life. I agree. Me too. Yes. Get a life so I don't have to, you know, then we can stop this.
Yes.
Then I can get a life.
This is one of the better tweets that I think we've ever seen from a player, that y'all need to get a life. And he even managed to shorten in y'all to YAW, which is not a way I'd seen it written before. But yes, this was I think him and Tomlin are genuine professionals and very intelligent men who know not to say the wrong thing in the wrong place. I kind of do tend to believe there might have been just a little bit of Deontay behind the scenes being upset, because we heard that for several years, and if there's one thing we've learned in the last 2 weeks, it's when you hear somebody's upset behind the scenes, eventually that comes to a head.
When he stirred it up with Mitch, it was maybe these things need to happen, when he stirs it up with Minka, then he's on a ship.
And a coach.
He's out.
Right, you know? Exactly. And I think that also shows the hierarchy of what, when they talk about the locker room, like the locker room is a lot more Minka and TJ and Cam, as we saw with the, hey, let's all go to dinner with James Harrison, Charlie Batch, and Russell, than it is Mitch, who was like, I think is still probably one of Kenny's closest friends.
I think you've unlocked something. But you know what? You know, let's give Khan credit. We did get a wide out. @McChrystal_Alex, Philly sports sufferer. LMAO, enjoy the worst wideout ever, Steelers. This is from the this is the Eagle source. So
yes, Quez Watkins.
Like, I don't know. None of these guys are moving the needle for me. You know, I'd rather Allen Robinson back because I know that he is a what he brings above the neck.
Yeah. He's a great blocker. That Watkins is fast and nothing else, and has terrible hands, and was an awful pick by the Eagles. And the Steelers have signed him for close to the vet minimum because he's very fast. And that's why, like I said, I think of these three guys, Austin, Watkins, and what's the other one? Jefferson. I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of them gets cut. I mean, just because, you know, you guys all kind of do more or less the same thing.
Yeah.
And also, it's not like the Steelers invested nearly as much money as they did in, say, Cordero with what they put into those guys.
No, that's, you know, those are good points. I mean, but you still got to take someone out there on the field. You know, and these guys get on the field. I mean, you know, if Miles Boykin did 130 snaps, we expect we expect Slash Patterson to get 170 snaps. Mm-hmm. You know, okay.
And none of these guys are a second wide receiver. Like, none of them are the other outside guy opposite George.
Well, we're going to play three backs, I guess, maybe. Well, who needs a second receiver when we've
got... And two quarterbacks, since they also have slash options for Justin Fields
and
as well.
The double tight end, three running backs, exactly. George Pickens.
They're going to run the wing T.
Okay. Now you sold me. I don't need another wideout. All right. We're going long, obviously. Uh-oh. But before we head to break, let's just do a little status check on con season.
Uh-oh.
At Pittsburgh Sport. Pittsburgh Sport returns. Steelers takeaways. Steelers status check 2023 versus now 2024. You tell me if you agree with the state of affairs of the Steelers here. We've got the quarterback room is an arrow pointing up with Wilson and Fields.
Yes, so far, yes. Mm-hmm.
Running back room is unchanged.
This was from the other day.
This was before
with
the
Cordero. It's an up. I mean, literally, there's a third back. There wasn't before, so up by definition.
Okay. Although I'll say, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Technically, yes. You know, I'll say more special teams, but yeah. But sure, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wideout is down. Still haven't
it
replaced.
Could not be down more. That's a big arrow, like a hole in the ground.
Worst wideout room since Kobe Hamilton was wideout one. I mean, I don't know. Pickens has been the man in situations, but we haven't seen him be the man
yet. We had like 1,100 yards or something. We're still towards the top five or six in the AFC last year. I mean,
he's
ready to be the one. I mean, it's just you need to find a two, or else then he's not going to get those one numbers.
Or is Pat the two? Is that argument?
We'll see if the draft goes bad. Maybe that's the case.
All right, back to. Our status check. Tight end, no changes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. O-line room is down. No center.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's literally no center, and they're out of tackle. So, I mean, they're going to get another tackle regardless. But yeah, just because you lose a player, they get a player. But yeah, it's definitely a big down. Not quite as big a hole as the wide receiver one, but still a hole in the ground.
We said tight ends already. D-line is no change. We lost Armon Watts, but we gained a healthy Cam. I don't know.
I could see even a little bit up. They really like that guy they got who's going to replace Armon Watts. The guy from, was it Green Bay or the Vikings? That one they signed the other day. I don't even remember his name, but they like that guy. So that's, I don't know. Is there a slight up? I would say either the same or slight up, because that guy's definitely going to replace Watts.
Inside linebacker room is obviously an up.
The biggest up on the team.
Biggest up. Big ups. Outside linebacker, this Pittsburgh Sport has him as a down because we need a fourth. But that's more unchanged in my eyes.
I'm just assuming they're going to re-sign Golden. So, yeah, that's probably an unchanged. Or whenever somebody else cuts this year's Marcus Golden.
Or I've got my odds on Tuzar Skipper still. So
he's out there somewhere.
Reboots are big right now. season four of that. Back to the list here. A cornerback is down. Even with our new Dante Jackson, is cornerback room down?
I mean, it's like wide receiver. They're going to bring in somebody else probably through the draft, but how high are you going to draft that guy? Is it going to be a first-round pick? I think by having Jackson there, it doesn't have to be a first-round pick. I'm kind of seeing... I don't know, my voice cracked. I would kind of see this as more or less the same right now. I think Jackson's better than Wallace, or at least they think that. And I guess I'm assuming that they're going to... like Marcus Golden, they're going to sign this year's Patrick Peterson, Chandon Sullivan version when someone else cuts him if they don't get that kid in the draft. So I'm going to say that is even.
Safety room is up. Elliott is an upgrade over Kazee and Neal.
I mean, Kazee had some good games. People forget that with all the weirdness with the you know, suspension and killing the guy in Indianapolis. But Kazee is a ball hawk. So, I mean, I would kind of have this as the same going into the season, but maybe it is an upgrade. But I would have this as the same right now.
Special teams. Obviously, we have a new punter and with our return person.
Yes, and up, a proven punter, not one that will have some very good games and then some very bad ones. So, yeah. But also a guy that hasn't kicked as much in Western Pennsylvania versus that weird, like, rodeo stadium the Texans play in.
You know, Danny Smith has his hands full with a new type of kickoff. Or is this something that Pat Meyer would come in and is it more about teaching blocking technique up front? Like
it
that?
Really might be. I mean, it's so radically different. It's kind of, I mean, I've watched like one XFL game because I was hungover. But it's really, if you haven't seen it, folks, it's bizarre. Like, it's going to change things in ways we can't really anticipate here in late March.
I think we've seen it by now, right? It's just, did it impact the XFL like they're expecting it to impact?
I think it's just there's more kickoff returns. I mean, how many kickoff? Yeah. How many? There were Steeler games that had one or two kickoff returns between two teams, regardless of score, regardless of situation. I mean, the touchback was way more common than any kind of kickoff return this past season. I feel confident in saying that, having seen every play by this team.
Okay. Let's get enough special teams talk or whatever. Let's get to the second half. Coming up in the second half, Mock the Mock season is in full effect. Plus, we'll talk quarterbacks. The analytic, add this to your advanced analytics. It's Tomlin's new way of judging leadership and quarterbacks, I guess. And it makes me, I don't know, it's making me reflect about myself. I don't know. And some t-shirt talk. All right, in the second half.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Here we go, Steelers, second half. Mm. What Jin's talking about, second half. Second half of a long mock draft season. Before, there's already like, there were like 20 some mock drafts this week. And it's like, that was usually like April numbers 2 years ago, you know? Now, who knows?
It gets worse and worse.
Could we have a 50 mock draft week? I don't know. It might be coming up anyway.
The virus festers.
Yes, it's spreading. Okay. Before we talk mock, let's talk QBs with some takes from an insider at @DLawley_PGH, Dale Lawley. Quote, I think probably the most attractive component of his profile, talking about Russell Wilson, is his quest for greatness, his chase for legacy. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin on Russell Wilson. It's the, you know, this is, he said this about Kenny too, the off-field component, the
football justice.
Football, yeah. So, we've heard this before about Kenny, but then, you know, Tomlin added a new analytic maybe to measure.
This is a guy that's driven, not hungry, meaning the things that motivate him can't be satisfied. What? And you just want to do business with people in that mindset who approach business in that way.
Driven, not hungry. There's a difference. You know, hungry, this guy's hunger can't be satiated. Driven is better than hungry. Are you feeling Do you feel more driven or hungry?
I like to think I'm driven. Perhaps I'm just hungry.
Right?
I feel it's that's hard to know. I think that's something we're used to. Like, oh, am I mad? No, I'm just hungry. Like, I think there's something to hunger about that. The way maybe hunger can cause you to like, and I'm totally in the weeds on this, but like hunger can cause you to act rashly or to lash out or to maybe not represent yourself in the best way. Whereas someone who's driven is focused and that drive is what propels them towards greatness versus, okay, here we go. Hunger is a lack of something. Being driven is going towards something.
Okay.
I figured this out. I have no idea how I got that. I bet I'm right about that. I don't know. I mean, that's probably more thought, frankly, than Tomlin put into that statement. I'll go with that. That'll be my final answer.
Right? It's like hunger can be satiated, with a contract or a title or a ring,
or even two Super Bowls versus the one because you threw it to that guy instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch. Yes,
but drive driven. So I don't know. I like Russ. I don't know. I'm liking what Tomlin likes about Russ.
Yes, I see. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. What you just got for this, whatever Tomlin said is kind of irrelevant, but you can see in Tomlin what Tomlin likes about Russ.
Yeah.
They know better.
I don't know. Do they? Let's get to another tweet. No, yes, it's at Mike DeFabo, Russell Wilson working out in the retro Steelers shirt. Now, first off, this workout is no joke.
This looks like so much fun.
If you've ever tried to do a reverse lunge and then do a twist with a weight, it's hard to keep your balance. He's doing that with a medicine ball. So.
And this like American Gladiators like moving floor. Like that just looks like such a fun thing for kids to play on. I would love to do this once. I'm sure I'd like break both of my hips. But it looked so fun watching that video.
And even more, important is Russ is wearing the Blitzburg shirt. Who is Blitzburg? If you don't know, let me remind you. So of course it's Kevin Green and
rest in peace
and Greg Lloyd, Quiver and Quake doing the QB shake, and then we've got Chad Brown, the Python Man, and number 99, LaVon Kirkland.
That's right.
Blitzburg. I guess that's the 90s nickname, right?
Yes, particularly that's the mid 90s. I mean, that's how you get after, that's Chad Brown gives that away. That wasn't like, that's like probably what, 94 to 96. I mean, Chad leaves. Remember, there was no salary cap then. So the Steelers had to keep drafting great players. And amazingly, they did that. And that's the story of how that team was so good in the 90s. Because Chad was like a third round pick. But anyway, that's most important is that, I was terrified for a second when I just like I was like Russell was alive for that team, right? And thankfully he was. So this was, but we were talking off the air. This is like a shirt somebody he had to have like bought this off of Instagram or something, right? Because it's not like this is a kid's shirt. This fits this very muscular man.
There's no way he was a fan. He was 7 years old back then, right? And he's from Richmond, so no way. If any way he was a Pittsburgh fan, he would have been a Slash fan. He'd have been a Cordell fan, right?
Exactly. So Cordell or Gansey or Ernie Mills or something.
You would think Cordell. So I can see if he had a Cordell shirt, that would have been now it's super cool still that he has a Blitzburg
He's
shirt.
He's trying so hard. And I respect that. I get it. I would too in his position. Why not?
At least he knows, who did they ask? I remember they asked someone like, oh, do you even know who James Harrison is? And he was like, nah, and it's just like so at least he's showing the respect there.
He's really trying.
Compared to at Simeon.Kelly, this is on Instagram. Simeon Kelly, that's Justin Fields' social media guy. And we've got video of Justin Fields' workout, but it won't play. But come on, play, my friend. He's wearing his own tee. Fields. What? Not since KP8. Not since KP8 have I seen someone self-aggrandizing.
And that's still the Bears blue, right? I mean, that says Fields in blue. It's not like, I mean, not that there's Fields hero t-shirt yet for the Steelers. That would be weird even for this fan base. But yes, that's still the blue from, because he played at Ohio State. That's not an Ohio State shirt.
Right.
So that's a Bears shirt. I kept thinking of the old line from PCU, don't wear the shirt of the band you're going to see. This is the next step beyond that.
Right.
This is several layers. I'm wearing my own shirt to work out.
Well, you know, any comic knows if you made t-shirts, then your workout shirts end up being your merch.
That's true. He probably still has a lot of these left around. So that's a good point, Cal. I should have been less of a hater.
Russell and Fields make your defense disappear. I don't know. I need a new rhyme.
We have time to work on that rhyme. We have time to work on that rhyme.
Okay. Anything else with QBs? I don't think. I think it's time to get to switch the cameras to the right person. It's like we miss our tech guy, but do we?
Okay. I don't know.
It's right. It's time for the return. Woo! Okay. Geez, turn it down, Eddie Van Halen. Mock the Rock 24. I've seen these mock so many names across their boards, but they're all the same. Oh, I forgot the lyrics, man. This is the first time we brought it back.
Which is okay, because the blessing is we took this long to do mock drafts.
And then me. There's only one way. There's only one way to mock the mock 24, 2 weeks in for us, and we've seen a gain of we've gained 21 mock drafts since last week for a total of 36. As you know, our theorem is if we can get a 50% consensus among these no-knowledge, know-nothing mock drafts, somehow the crowdsourcing of lack of knowledge and guesstimations and recollections can actually turn into a nugget that no one else has been able to claim except us, you're talking about.
Nice.
The 50% threshold is what we're seeking now. New to the mock era, we've got five new names this week. With the big one is, with three new mock drafts, center from Duke, Graham Barton. I haven't heard anything about, we don't go to Duke pro days or anything. I haven't heard anything about Duke centers.
I think the only thing I've heard about this guy is he's a guard that's played some center. And as soon as I hear that, I feel myself, my spine tingle and shake.
It's and he can squat 600 pounds like Kendrick Green, and he's Kendrick Green.
Right, only now as a first round pick as opposed to a third round pick.
Also new. Okay, you want some real tackles? Also new to the mock drafts, we've got tackle from Alabama, J.C. Latham, and tackle from Penn State, Olu Fashanu, with one each. Those round out. Oh, I'm sorry. One other offensive lineman. Someone mocked center from WVU in the first, Zach Frazier, which I thought he might be a second round guy.
Yeah,
but
that's what a lot of them seem to think. And those other two tackles you mentioned, they seem to think those were guys that usually go higher in the draft, but for whatever reason, they didn't in those mock drafts. I don't know if it was people trading up for quarterbacks or someone doing the Detroit thing of let's get a running back earlier than everyone thinks or something like that.
The fifth new player, new to mock draft kingdom is the cornerback from Alabama, Terrion Arnold. One mock draft. So, Alabama we send people to the pro day. That makes sense.
Oh yeah, and there's always, I mean, Alabama, Georgia. There's always going to be somebody you could take there in your first round.
So to recap, we're up to 36 total mock drafts.
Wow.
The leading candidate with five gained this week, including Mark Cabali, Steelers insider, it's offensive tackle from Georgia, Amarius Mims, 8 total starts. We just drafted. We've never drafted a tackle in the first round until last year. Now we're going to spend 2 and 2 back-to-back years. I mean, I guess.
I mean, that sounds very Andy Weidel is putting together the board. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 2 with the most mocked at 7, gaining 4 this week. From LSU, wide receiver Brian Thompson Jr., wide receiver. But I don't think, has there been an LSU pro day? I don't think we sent anyone there.
I don't know, yeah, or when that is. Or hopefully, unlike the other schools, they scheduled at a time when people can actually get there versus just other teams. But everyone would do them like during like free agency days or stuff. That was so weird. So, yeah. No, I think there was an LSU pro day. I forget someone was there, but I'm not sure who was. Anyway.
Well, you know who was not there? They were not there at Oregon, who is the third, number 3 on the mock draft total. Jackson Powers Johnson with 6, gaining 4 this week. 6. The center from Oregon. So there's 1, 2, 3, 9, 7, and 6 between Mims, Thompson, and Johnson. But no appearance at the Oregon Pro Day.
I thought Bruner was there. Who, again, was the last guy from the West Coast they took in the first round, which shows how often that happens. But I could be wrong. I thought,
usually for a first-round pick.
Oh, yeah, you'd think Tomlin or Kahn or both would be there if we're looking at a guy in the first round. I mean, that hasn't broken yet, right? It's still in the last decade plus. Tomlin is there for all of them, which would lead a lot of credence to Mims.
All right, so you're on the Mims bandwagon.
I don't know if I'm on the band, but I mean, that makes as much, I mean, just if we're going by history, that's, but as we've learned in the last month, history tends to get broken more often than it used to.
If you're trying to win now, do you want to invest in a tackle? It would be a third, either he's your second Dan Moore is your third or vice versa, but it still is a little bit more of a depth piece than a center. If you want to win now,
you'd go for the center or yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's unless they think Mims is further along than others do and they try to do with him what they did with Jones, where you have more start in front of him for X amount of games. And then you make up that he said something mean at the end of the game, and then he goes in and starts for him, and they play better after.
Yeah, if you're trying to draft for the future, if you literally were saying, hey, we're not trying to win for now, we got to make the best pick on the board and maybe a tackle, but because Dan Moore's contract is up, and so that's not guaranteed there. But it's really. Even wide out before tackle if you're trying to win now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I don't even know if they look at the first round pick as this is the only way we're trying to win now. Like, I can see them talking themselves into, okay, we've done all this other stuff to win now in free agency, so let's just take the best player available, and maybe it just so happens to be this tackle that's started 8 more games than any of us listening to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would think if we're going to do this right now, and we're going to win right now, then it's going to be the center. And I think that's the only thing. I think that's part of the reason that even though Tomlin wasn't there for Oregon, they were all thinking, hey, maybe it was Tomlin, just because didn't he explicitly say in that one interview, like, yeah, there's only 2 centers in this draft. You could plug and play. And we're thinking like, wow, that is a lot more direct than what they usually say about this kind of
and
stuff.
From the guy who thought that Kendrick Green was a plug and play.
Right. The guy in the third round, we're going to give him Pouncey's number.
Okay. Well, a couple mocks of note. Like I said, Kabali mocked Mims. Mm-hmm. Ray Fittipaldo in his chat said he would take J.C. Latham over Mims if it came between those two.
A lot of the drafts, I've only skimmed a few mock drafts, but like Latham is gone at like 10 or 11 in a lot of them. Like, I mean, it sounds like, yeah, maybe they would take Latham over Mims, but how in most of the drafts, he doesn't make it to 20.
If you're going to take a tackle at 20, I think that guy had better have
the gabagool.
He better have the gabagool. Okay, let's enough mock talk. We got, here's the funny thing about is that, okay, you get all these mocks. We had 21 mocks at the end of March, more than ever at this time. And then there are the articles that are written about the mock. So it'll be like, Kabali there's an article like Kabali's pick in the mock is, so there's the articles with the mock drafts. Then there's the content about someone's mock draft. And now we're getting AI who are able to do their own content based on a mock draft. So you're getting like three levels per mock draft of content out
and it's
there.
Like Multiplicity, where like as they kept making another Michael Keaton, then the one further out got dumber and dumber, hence the AI one.
Oh
wow.
And it's already dumb to begin.
Yes.
But we're here to break the code. We have the code breaker. So all right, enough of that. Let's just get to a quick little March Madness recap. Steelers March Sadness. The Final Four is in. Mm-hmm. If you've been paying attention, then your name is Kyle Kreiss. Our Final Four, March Sadness. So after 64 of the saddest moments in Steelers history, people have voted. There's been some voting. And so this has been the Final Four. We've got Super Bowl 30, Neil O'Donnell's second interception in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Going up against Super Bowl 45, Mendenhall's fumble in the fourth quarter.
That sounds like a tough battle. That would be quite a debate.
Well, who gets your vote?
I'll go Neil, just because the Mendenhall team, I mean, they had won multiple Super Bowls. That was the end of an era. They were down so big in that game, and it was a fairly tight line. Whereas Super Bowl 30, I mean, it was such an underdog story. They were huge underdogs, and they were in this game, and they were driving to possibly do it, and then that happened. So that's a tough debate, and I could certainly be talked into the other position. But off the top of my head, I'll go with Super Bowl 30 as the sadder moment.
Okay, yeah, I can't come up to one way or another, really, but
it's tough. I was younger,
I, 30 was special because I was younger, and so... Mm-hmm.
Exactly, that too.
And it's going up, the other matchup in the Final Four is the 95 AFC Championship game, three more yards, going up against the Shazier injury. Mm-hmm. How would you go?
I mean, I would vote the Shazier injury, but I think this is the other deserving regional champion. Yeah. Three more yards. I think that's certainly. I think that's the other. I mean, again, I kind of think if they do get those 3 yards, they lose to Steve Young's 49ers. But I don't think Steve Young sets the all-time Super Bowl touchdown record like he did against the Chargers. But I think Shazier's injury is worse. But I think three more yards deserves to be. There
are these the four saddest? Is there anything, you know, I Tebow to me is still my personal saddest all time.
I mean it's a sad moment. I mean, they were gonna get crushed that next week, but I mean these of the four, I mean it this kind of shows the age of who's listening to the watching this and listening, you know, like there's nothing from the 70s made it this far. And that Marino didn't make it this far, so that shows again the age is here. So I mean of my lifetime, I'll take these as these four. Yeah.
And no Ben, someone in the comments was like, how could none of Ben's failures made it? Well, you know, Ben's won as many as he's lost, I guess.
And who knows what's going to happen next year.
All right, we'll get your votes in, I guess, if you're paying attention, which you are not. Okay, with that, I think the band is trying to take the field. Nope. Gosh, the band was, I put him to sleep. March Sadness talk even put the band to sleep. Let's see if they're out. Oh! March Sadness. All right, a couple odds and ends. This was funny to me. This is kind of neither here nor there, but the best question from Tomlin's press conference at the annual meeting was not about Russ or not about Kenny or whatever, but... I thought it had, let's just play it.
Brandon Ayuk said you guys look like twins. Has anyone ever told you you look like Brandon Ayuk?
I've heard a lot of that recently, yeah.
So the final question, have anyone ever told you you look like Brandon Ayuk? And he's like, yes, I've heard that recently. Okay, you think that would be it? No, it's not. That's not the end. Hold on.
Anyone ever told you you look like Brandon Ayuk?
I've heard a lot of that recently, yes.
Yeah, but no one's ever actually asked you personally?
No.
I got a follow-up. Has anyone ever said you look like Brandon? Yeah, I've heard that recently. All right, I got a follow-up. But have you heard that personally? What? No. So I don't know. I can't,
I mean, that's hilarious to me because I took Tomlin's answer as half sarcastic, half confused, just because has anyone asked you the question I just asked you directly?
Just asked you. Oh, come on, insiders. Just asked you.
I mean, that's almost something you'd see in a sketch. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, he should have said, besides you,
besides the person who just asked me, not at all.
But he also was just like, yeah, I've heard. And then, but then Tomlin changes his answer to no. That's funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Is what it is.
Yes, I've heard that. Yes. Yes. Yeah. But have you heard that? No. But not that he needs a joke writer, but I would have said like, no, but I've heard he looks like Omar Epps. And maybe that's how I would.
That would have been a nice tag. That would have been a nice tag.
Okay. Moving on. How about this from long time no tweet at Colin Dunlap. Anyone want to buy Kenny Pickett's house? So Kenny put his house up on the market quickly for something that someone was like, oh, it's an investment property. Not even, I don't know. He put it up pretty quick. So it's $2.7 million,
okay.
6 bed, 6 bath. He was planning to live here with a big family, it sounds like.
Yes, very much so. That is a lot of arches on this house. That is, they are everywhere.
That's a big house,
and
yeah.
But there's a lot of big houses without that many arches. They were prepared for snowfall. No, he very much planned on living in Cranberry, which is a wonderful area where I spent a lot of time growing up, not far from where I live, where I grew up in Cranberry. So yeah, he planned on, this was, again, I know it seems like it's been building for a while, but on some level, part me, like you, has kind of wondered if so trade me was the rash words that forever changed things.
Pole position is what the trigger word to me. It was right. Like, what? That's what triggered you? Right, pole position.
Right.
8,756 square feet, fully furnished. He's leaving the Levin furniture behind. It's not coming with him. He's going back to, Trenton makes the world takes.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, should I buy, if I sold my house here in LA,
okay.
I think I would have enough for the down payment on this. But then the monthly payment would be like 12 grand.
That might be an issue.
So the median house is on the market for 18 days in Cranberry.
Okay.
So we'll see. It says it's been longer than 18. It's been about 18 days since.
Has it?
I don't know.
I don't think it has. I don't think it's been 18 days at all.
So we'll see how long. We'll see how long that stays on the market.
Yeah.
But if it drops, maybe I'll make a move on on Kenny's house. Would I buy a house just to say this was Kenny Pickett's house? Maybe.
You could leave with. I mean, even if you couldn't afford the permits, you could just payments. You could leave with the furniture, like just kind of.
Yeah. Well, I brag about how my house is the Ann Perkins house from Parks and Rec now. So maybe I would. Okay. Oh, no, wait, we've got one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep. Yes, we do. All right, we'll keep the music, but let's quickly. Final word. Across the street at KDKA, the Renegade hot dog, a foot-long hot dog coming to PNC Park, topped with mini pierogies, pot roast, caramelized onions, and pickles. Debuting at PNC Park, this would be perfect for Acrisure, I think, too, the Renegade. But
absolutely.
What do you think? I would do it without the pickles, but pierogies, pot roast, and a hot dog.
I would do it without the pickles as well. I mean, this is obviously in honor of David Bednar, the Pittsburgh native, the all-star closer, who, of course, is a big Steelers fan, has led the towel twirl. But yeah, the pierogies with it is interesting. I mean, that's a lot of carbs, but the pot roast, too. But it would be something to try this just once. But the pickles, I don't know where that comes from. That seems like a lot.
I kind of don't want the dog, even. Give me pot roast. And
that's true.
It's like a Pittsburgh cheesesteak. Give me pot roast. And pierogies on a bun.
Right, that's how I could roll with that. Yeah, that would be all right. But it's a mustard, maybe? That could be okay.
Okay, let's not push it. It's mustard. Maybe some red hot, I don't know, buffalo sauce. All right, I think that's what we've been talking about.
That's what we've been talking about.
I guess. All right. If you want to keep the conversation going, social media is the landmine where I live. although I stick to TikTok.
Good for you.
At Kyle Kreis. Although everyone keeps saying I got to get on Reels or whatever, I just don't like how Instagram makes me feel. It's like it makes me feel bad about myself. I don't know. What about you, Greg?
You can find me on Instagram feeling bad about myself at Greg Benevent, B as in boy, E-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-T.
I wouldn't mind a review or something if someone could leave a review for this show on iTunes or YouTube, just so I can know that there's someone, just to check in. I always wonder, is anyone listening? Tommy, can you hear me? Actually, one thing that people should watch, it's very Pittsburgh adjacent. There is a Terrible Towel cameo, so I'll give you that. On HBO Max, season 3 of How To with John Wilson, there's the episode How to Watch the Game. It's Met-centric, but there is a Terrible Towel cameo. But I just, you know, just maybe watch that and then reconsider some of the things you're tweeting on social media. I don't know.
Which you should, even if you don't watch this show.
Let's make 2024 a super positive. Let's if we're going to be the March champs, let's do it with some class and carry it into the season as champions. Let's show that's with some champion swagger. Mm-hmm. All right. Until next week, when we forget all about the March champs. Keep listening to your coach.
Be their best selves. That's going to be required.
Stay in school.